satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 246. I got the number right?
Yes.
Holy crap, it's Thursday.
I'm Wibbly Arms.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
Yay,
it's another week.
Another Thursday.
Yep. But it's at least I've had a nice busy week, goodness. Between holy crap, loads of convention business and
busy
with other things. Do you know that Audible has had completely fucking rewrote their acceptable uploads thing?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no. They completely fucking redid it. I had to go back and, because I was finally fucking finished. Finally fucking finished doing everything I can to make Division sound as awesome as I possibly can. Because there was issues when I submitted it last time, and the guy was real unspecific, and Kyle's been super busy with cons, so he's been out of pocket for like a fucking month.
Yeah.
I had to go and re-render all 31 episodes, all 31 chapters yesterday.
Mm-hmm. How long does that take to render?
Took a few hours. But it was just frustrating because it's like I had just fucking done this.
Oh.
And I had to go back and do it all again.
Oh, so they've changed like the bits per second and
right, like the header and the footer, like on in each chapter, and they want certain noise reduction things done and this, that, and the other. I was just like,
I was getting worried for a second. I thought you were going to say, oh, they've changed their upload things and no more furry dicks allowed.
Yeah, sorry, no more adult stories allowed. Well, I guess the rest of my stuff that I'm working on will be for Planet Exclusive. yeah, I need to upload that shit. But again, today I had convention business come up that I had to deal with. Contracts and shit for 2014 and 2015.
Oh, let's see. God. I've been trying to smooth out going out to CARE this weekend for our big crowd.
Yeah.
Present them with the big ass check.
So the big ass check. So what time are we meeting out there?
We got tours starting around 2.
Okay.
And then aiming to get some food on the grill around 4 and eat sometime after 4 and present checks between 4:30 and 5 as soon as people get out of making their lap through the whoever's okay. going to go and cool. tour.
That makes it a little easier because I was like, I hope it's not in the morning.
No, it's like we're aiming to do the check around 5, which
okay. Well,
if you've been on a million tours, then you don't have to go early if you want to go on a tour.
Well, like my sister wants to come and mm-hmm. Panther wants to come and all that because he always loves getting photos of the cats. And I'm going to go this time because hey, I'm on the board of directors and I get to be among the people that presents the check. Yay!
The rain date's next weekend. It's iffy if it's going to rain this weekend. Apparently, Derek is a meteorologist.
No.
I did not know that. That's what he does for the Air Force. He's a meteorologist out of the Air Force base out there. So we'll know well ahead of time on how likely rain is going to be for Saturday.
So it's like 2 hours out there and 2 hours back?
About an hour and a half.
It's Bridgeport, yeah. It's way out there.
Well, we're going out there.
Kind of have to be.
Well, here's the thing. This weekend, if it's good, we're going to go and do it. Next weekend, my dad's going to be in town. He wants to go to a fossil hunting place, which is out past Bridgeport. So we're going to have to stop by CARE on the way through, say show them the kitties, then go all out and hunt fossils out. I'm trying to remember the one out there. And so fun, I'm going to be out there at CARE 2 weekends in a row. So if we get rain dated, I'm going to be out there on Saturday with my dad. And all of you guys.
He's going to know about all this fur faggotry.
They already know about the convention. It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, most of our staff are something I'm not ashamed of. And to be having my dad be there while I give a charity a $19,000 check, that I wouldn't really mind at all.
Like, most of the staffers you're not ashamed of, but there's always that one guy.
I can't really think of any. Yeah.
Oh, there's that one guy in the video room.
Oh.
The video gaming is just, it's got these beady little eyes and that pedo stash.
Hey, Severin shaved.
And that big nose of his.
That big Jew nose.
What? I don't know. Anywho, so if we rain this weekend, I'm going to be dragging my dad out to the check presentation the next weekend.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it because I haven't been out there in.
Never been out there. I know they've been our charity for 6 years, but just.
To be fair, watch every time we announce a higher check and you watch that, you know, Derek kind of tear up because, oh my God, this is such good news. It's like all kinds of warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
Because you can tell how much it really...
have to make him fake cry like some other convention.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, he gets... Wow. Yeah, you could just see him kind of like, oh, God.
All right, cut up the onions. It's time to turn on the waterworks.
Because he gets that kind of like agitated people get when they're really emotional, but you can tell it's because he's just super happy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So that's this weekend. So I've been trying to get that organized, making sure that we've got like a couple staffers that are mobility disadvantaged. So he's going to use their gator cart to drive them around.
Oh, that's cool.
Because obviously the wheelchair would not work the best out
there. Yeah, I was wondering how they did that. I guess on that terrain, was probably not designed for wheelchairs.
So they're going to basically take them around in the cart that they use for...
Wheelchairs are more like not designed for that terrain. It is dirt and grass.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually read two books this week because I keep finding ones I really, really like and have been waiting for.
Oh.
So that's eaten up a big chunk of my... evenings instead of like video games or anything else. It's like, holy crap, I've got this book that I've been dying to read and it's here.
What are you reading?
I just finished the latest Rachel Morgan book. Before that, it was the Tremere book, and I'm currently on the latest Mercy, who's it's the Silver series. Basically, she's a skin walker, coyote.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, and
that's like borderline furry, kind of.
Yeah, she's.
Considered fantasy?
It's the genre? I don't know what I think it's called urban fantasy or supernatural.
Oh, okay.
It's the werewolf vampire. The
supernatural romance.
Kinda. I mean, there's elements, but of them all, I think I like the Mercy books the best.
There are lots of fucking.
A little bit, yeah.
So I've been reading a lot of Lauren Bukes lately. Have you guys heard of her?
No.
Fairly new author out of South Africa, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the first book of hers I read was called Zoo City. And it was in the first time that Humble Bundle did a book bundle.
Was hers. That the one you recommended to me on Goodreads the other day? Okay.
That's it, yeah.
I saw it come through. It's like, huh.
So it's like there's... Something happens where when somebody it's not necessarily that they commit a crime, it's that they commit something that they have a guilty conscience over, and that guilt or regret manifests itself in the form of an animal that always has to be with them. Mm-hmm. There's like a certain distance where if it goes beyond, it causes both of them pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're connected and invisibly, but they also get some kind of gift. Like some sort of, I hesitate to say superpower because nobody has like optic blasts or anything like that. But there's, you know, there's one where like just by speaking, you can convince people to do anything, that sort of thing. So the main character is this woman who her gift is finding lost things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she goes to this old lady. It's like, fine. I forget what it is she's trying to find, but if she has a picture of it and can get an impression of it, she can kind of locate it. And somebody hires her to find a person, which is way more complicated because she mostly does objects. And it turns into this mystery and everything. But she was built a very interesting world. It's basically a little post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, America is uninhabitable because of, it's global warming. And so Africa now has all these North American refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because big landmass, mostly uninhabited. So that's where they came. So there's like a lot of American expats down in Cape Town, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on my third book of hers that she's written. And I think that may be all she's written so far because she's fairly new. But her new one's called The Shining Girls, which... It's a neat concept that there's this serial killer in the past, in 1930s, who stumbles on this house that, depending on how he concentrates, the door will open on at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And he has... There's these talismans in one of the room, and they're all like little objects. One of them's a little orange pony, actually, so I was immediately like, it's Applejack! It's supposed to be from the 70s, so it wouldn't have been. But he has to basically make sure that the objects match the girls that he kills. Mm-hmm. It is. I haven't gotten to the point where it's revealed what's special about these women that he kills, but there's something kind of connecting them all. So I'm like, a house that's way more impressive on the inside than it is on the outside, because it looks very ramshackle on the outside, but it's like beautiful and got all this antique shit on the inside. And a door opens different times. It's a dying TARDIS. It's got to be. And the telepathic circuits are malfunctioning and making this guy crazy, and that's why he's a murderer. That's my theory on it, but of course I'll be wrong because it's not a Doctor Who book. But no, it's a very cool book. I definitely recommend Zoo City as a fur fag lead-in, and then to read some of her other work.
Well, the basic gist of the Mercy books is she's a skinwalker, so she's a Native American pseudo-wear. But so in the mythos of that world, she's not the same as other wares because she just goes poof from coyote to girl back and forth. Just poof, whereas the wares go through a very more agonizing, slow change. They're not poof, mm-hmm. poof, back and forth, and they actually have a whole process where she can just kind of go pop in and out a couple times.
She's lucky. There's less bone cracking and knees bending backwards and shit like that.
So, but it's very much living up to the Native American coyote mischief maker. So you've got these big hulking savage werewolves, and she kind of got bundled in with them because her mom basically walked in and instead of found a baby in the crib, found a coyote kit.
Mm.
And then for most of her childhood, it's like, what the hell do I do with this?
Maybe the dingo ate her baby.
And left a coyote kit in the place.
Sometime during her childhood, I forget when, she basically got sent off to like the werewolf pack to, look, I don't know what to do with this thing. Go take her. It's like, we're not coyotes, we're werewolves. I don't care, you're both fuzzy. Go. So you've got, in the wild, they say that coyotes and wolves don't really get along, and that kind of holds with a werewolf pack and a mm-hmm. coyote kit. Well, she spends most of her childhood upwards into her late 20s, because that's when you run into the full character as you come into the books. I think she's like late 20s, early 30s. So she spent most of her childhood and early adulthood learning to skate the line between how much she can push a werewolf before it breaks her neck. So there's a lot of nippy zings and just tweaking their tails, but she does it in such a way that they can't really pin it on her because if she pushes it too much, they're going to break her neck. So there's this fine line skating along between being this trickster so that she doesn't get caught. And you kind of come into the first of these books where she's been parked. And like werewolves, she's a singular, whereas the werewolves are very much the pack mentality. So you've got this pack with this outsider. And so she lives next door to the alpha werewolf, his daughter, and will eventually be the ex-wife who leaves shortly after the book starts, or right around when the book starts. And she lives in a trailer, and he lives in a very nice house. And so there's this field between, you know, kind of her trailer and kind of ramshackle field, and it goes up to nice lawn and then his beautiful house. And he likes to try and boss her around. Well, he'll come over and he'll kind of, you know, muscle man shove and say, you know, toe the line. So what she'll do is she's got a car parked out in her back field in full view of his house. Nice lawn coming down to unmown, you know, yard, and she'll just go and make the car uglier. It's on her yard, so, you know, she'll pull off a door. She'll pry off another tire. She'll put another piece, spray paint another fender. And she'll just go and she'll make the car uglier in his line of sight of his beautiful lawn. So, and that's kind of...
Damn coyotes, the white trash of the shifter community.
So, well, the thing is that she's doing it deliberately, and she'll do that. But that's the kind of stuff she'll do. She'll do something that kind of underneath the skin. And so he can't just boss her around. She'll play lip service, and then she'll get him back in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of her personality throughout the entire book. And I loved it since the first one I picked up, which I think
is... How many books is it?
I think this is 7.
So it's been going a little while.
Then. Yeah, it's...
That's not bad.
Silverborn, there was Iron... I'd have to look them up. But yeah, it's the Meredith... not Meredith Gentry, that's... no, it's Mercedes Thompson books. And they're really good.
Cool.
So, I haven't read any books.
You've recorded a book, though.
Yes, and I have... I did get to play Wildstar last weekend. So last week's on the show, I kind of talked about my impressions.
Oh, yeah, Titanfall's out, too.
And not that interested in that one, but I did get to play Wildstar on the Alienware beta weekend. And I can talk about it now because the NDA has been lifted and people can stream the beta and all that stuff.
Yay.
They're in the... They've announced their pre-order date and they've announced a release date of June 3rd, which is Akon weekend, but, you know, whatever. I played... There's the two factions. I played a exile human engineer. I dubbed him Space Jesus. Because he had the long, flowing brown hair, had green eyes instead of blue, and the pointy chin beard that you so commonly see in Anglo-Saxon depictions of Jesus.
Space Jesus.
Mm. And the heavy armor that he came was kind of a sash across the chest and pants with a loincloth.
Uh-huh.
So he and they were kind of having a problem with some of the gun models not appearing, because engineers use what are dubbed heavy guns.
Mm-hmm.
Each class only gets one weapon type.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically I was casting shotgun blasts from my hands
as opposed to
using the shotgun. I mean, it'd do the pose, but there's no gun. So it's just, yes, I'm going to cast the shrapnel into you. So I played the Excel engineer up to level 16. I did entirely PvE in the zone Algorok, which is
what does that mean?
Player versus environment. I didn't do any PvP.
Okay. You're not fighting, it's another.
They actually segregate the zones until you get about to your till about 25-30.
Mm-hmm.
Each side has their when you start your character, you have the opening on the Ark ship, you get to level 2 there, then you go down to a 2-5 zone. And you have two choices of 2-5 zones, which basically go over the tutorials, and each one is themed to two of the races on the side. And then you have two 5-15 zones that lead you to your capital, which itself is a freaking zone. It's really big. I'd compare Thade, which is the Exile capital, to be about the entire size of, say, Isle of Thunder.
It's pretty damn big.
By itself. And that's just the town. So I played that, and at level 15, you get mounts, your first mount, and you get your space house. There's
space
one of the things,
house for your space Jesus.
Yes. Every character has space, has housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
house socialist.
What's cool is you can kind of make yourself a...
Are my tax dollars going to these e-houses?
Space housing development, because you choose friends and you can pick your neighbors. So you can visit your neighbors' houses at pretty much any time.
Mm-hmm.
This also makes it easier so that you don't have to have a house for all of your people. You can make one house and have your characters share it. Which is kind of cool, because... The housing in the game is a massive gold sink, but it's a fun gold sink. The housing thing is really cool because you get 4 small plugs and 2 large plugs.
Plugs?
Plugs are places where you place what are called in the game fab kits, which are, there's certain fab kits you can get, so like you can get profession-based plugs. So, like, I was a minor armor crafter, because the crafting system in the game is really freaking complex and pretty deep. And I was able to purchase, for a little bit of money, a node spawn. And basically what it would do is about every 10 to 15 minutes, it would poop out a ready-to-harvest node. And these would accrue while I'm out doing shit. So I can go back to my house, harvest the 4 nodes that have popped up, and, you know, get the associated minerals and ore and whatever, and fuck off back to where I was if I want. And there's an upkeep cost on a weekly basis with that, and I only got to play for 3 days, so I didn't get to steal with that, but it's not, like, that much. And you get some house pieces in the environment. So I enjoyed playing the engineer. It's a heavy armor class that has bots that they really buffed in the last patch. So I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the housing. I also played a warrior, which is obviously, as you'd expect, in your face, giant sword wielding dude.
Rawr, smash, Hulk smash, you know.
And a cute little pink Chua spellslinger, which is one of the caster classes that they still need to work on a bit. But I really enjoyed it. I'm going to be picking it up at launch. I'm going to pre-order it when it becomes available, because they're like, if you pre-order, you get it back into the beta. And a special house.
Mm-hmm.
And a title and all this other nonsense. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's like $35. Or $50 for the collector's edition, digital deluxe edition, or whatever.
Yeah, and that whole WoW thing.
They're going to be doing, like, there's going to be physical box releases, but you can just buy digital. I'm going to buy digital. They're not doing a proper collector's edition, because I was like, I really enjoy this. I would buy a collector's edition to start, but they're not putting one out. Because they're like, we'll see how this does. We're not going
to... Because you have to imagine, it takes a lot of money to sink into doing a
collector's edition like WoW does.
Because you have to make all that stuff.
Yeah, and what's cool is they're targeting it right between... Elder Scrolls Online is going to launch before they do.
And fail.
But WoW is launching like 3 months afterwards.
Yeah, they're not sure when the fuck they're doing anything with WoW.
Yeah, they're like, before December 20th. And I'm like, what? Like, Tesser's unsubbed now.
Really?
Yeah, Tesser's like, oh, I'm fucking dropping it until the expansion comes out. And I'm like, I don't blame you.
If I wasn't, you know, the main tag for the guild and Sarah, the GM, we probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I dropped mine last month.
It's hard to keep...
I played ESO for a bit. I'm like, I ain't picking that shit up. But I'm going to pick up WildStar when it comes.
What's DSO?
ESO, Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, okay.
And what's really bad is, like, my impression was it was just really, really, really boring. And that's what a lot of people are saying.
It's really fucking boring.
And it's like, that's a bad start.
That is something you don't want your game to be, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed my time playing WildStar. I think it'll be a good... It's going to be a niche MMO. It's not going to be a WoW killer. There's no such thing as a WoW killer.
But unless WoW kills itself like a suicide.
Well, we don't know about World of Draenor yet, do we?
Is it how long it takes them to get it out?
Yeah, it's see, one of those things, it's like, I have all the CEs except for the first one, and I'm like, do I want to do that? Do I want to pick WoW back up when it comes out? I like the mount, I like the bird mount, but I don't want to pay $80 for that.
Yeah, and the whole, and it's like, well, $10 won't matter. It's like, well, it's the difference between, you know.
But I also like using all, like, for the longest time, I'd always use the WoW CE mouse pads. But, like, this most recent one, I gave that to Tyrion, and he's using it, but I was just like, I've got other mouse pads.
But did you not like it, or did you just not need it?
I just didn't feel like using it. It was Chen Stormstout. It was pretty cool. So, like I said, Tyrion really liked it, because, you know, he digs the big chubby panda dudes that are muscly. But, like, I used the BC one, I used the Wrath one, I used the Kata one for the entirety of those expansions, and this last one, I was just like, eh.
The thing is, I'm kind of sad to see pandas go, because it was actually a really good addition. And I kind of like, ugh.
Are you just not going to be able to play pandas anymore?
Or? Oh, no. But the whole, like, Kung Fu Chinese mythos they went through
now for this X-Fact. Now it's going back to orcs.
They're not going to be Kung Fu fighting anymore?
Oh, you'll still have the monks, and they'll still be Kung Fu fighting, but you're not going to be hip deep in, what's that genre called of,
Kung Fu.
Bara.
No, there's the whole mystical Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's going to be orcs.
Yeah.
And Draenei.
Which means Wigga Wagga Bottoms all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with...
Draenei butts.
Fat bottom Draenei butts make Draenor go round.
To be fair, that's the only reason I have an Alliance character.
Did it bring all the art to the yard?
And you know, well, you saw that one that print that Noxie had at Fiesta.
Yes, the Draenei butt.
Draenei butt. Yeah, that's kind of how they look in the game, and they really wiggle and they have the cute little tails.
And you see them from the back, and then their butts just they have the wiggle waggle booty.
So that was kind of my. That was my kind of thing for the past week because I've been so busy elsewhere.
I worked a ton of hours last week, just between we had product rolling out and all this other stuff, and it was like, ugh. This week has actually been quieter. But first, my boss was on break all week, and then now the second half of the week, the other IT guy's been out, so it's just mostly been me by myself.
Oh boy.
Which is good and frustrating all at the same time.
Yeah.
Because there's just stuff I don't know.
So we should also read some emails.
And stop.
Already?
Kind of bitching about life.
Well, we've been at this half an hour.
Oh,
just been bitching for half an hour.
Okay.
Wait. Fuzz, don't you have a con coming up this month? Or are you not going?
Yeah.
RMFC.
No.
Our little, biggest little fur con, right?
So Tyrion is going to Furry Weekend Atlanta.
So I know there's FWA.
Which is not this coming weekend, but next weekend. So there will be 3 for Planet tables there. We'll be right next to Sofa Wolf. Well, Tyrion will be right next to Sofa Wolf. So go and see Tyrion and buy stuff. And then the week after that, I'm attending Biggest Little Fur Con. But I'm not dealing. So I've already heard from over a dozen people that are going to be there. They actually tweeted today that they've got over 900 pre-regs.
That's good.
Yeah. It's like 960-something,
I think. Was it Rocky Mountain that had the stumble last year, or was it the other one?
The what?
There was someone...
No, there was the Rocket City happen last year.
Yeah, Rocket City was the one.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They ran into the hotel issue.
So, but no, not Rocky Mountain.
No, Rocky Mountain's fine.
Okay.
They're in a new hotel this year, actually. They've had to move to a larger one. And I believe they're going to be closer to downtown Denver. And I'll be going to that one, too, actually. Because normally Tyrion does that one, but because he's doing FWA instead of me, I'm taking over Rocky Mountain for the year. And Zia will be able to go to that one. So that'll be nice. So I'll get to hang out with Zia for a weekend and sell some stuff there. But, yeah, I'm going to BLFC. I'm getting my badge printed on a floppy disk, which is cool. My Teen Wolf t-shirt came in, so I'll have my 80s shirt to wear one of the days. I ordered a special 80s shirt just for the con, which I could continue to wear later. But I was like, oh, it's Teen Wolf. It's gaudy as hell. It's bright yellow.
Yeah.
But that should be a lot of fun. It looks like artists are really having fun with offering 80s style badges, so... Lots of neon, lots of bad fashion furries
You've gotten your Teen Wolf shirt you showed off.
Yep. And I'm getting a badge from Kilkoto that I've given her a visual reference of like a horrible neon green tie-dye t-shirt, which is what I had back in the day. So I'm looking forward to it for the theme and then just kind of hanging out and not doing a whole lot and... You know, maybe catching up with some people that I'd... There's quite a few folks. There's like Atari and Geo are a couple people that I know from various conventions that I've said hi to, but I've not really had a proper conversation
with. Because you're in the middle of sell.
Yeah, and then when I go to dinner, I end up going to dinner with a lot of other dealers or our writers that we want to discuss business with, so... But at this con, it's like I want to have dinner with folks like that and actually get to know them and everything.
And get outside of your usual cliques?
Yeah, basically.
Outside of your usual spot.
There's a bunch of folks like that that have been around me for ages that I don't feel I know very well because I'm always so damn busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to actually get to know more of the people that hang around us and come to our parties and everything. But, I mean... How well do you get to know somebody at a noisy party. Room party? Exactly.
You don't.
Old friend of mine at Tyrion's, Vaughn Fox, is going to be in the dealer's room. his mate's going to be there too. I want to maybe pick up a sketch from Necrodrone.
I like her stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's a her in real life.
It is a her in real life. She does some BDSM stuff and some femdom stuff, so maybe I'll get like a good sketch from her or something like that. And Graveyard Greg and Kronos have a table also. So I've ordered some books for them to sell.
Necrodrone's one of those ones I keep hoping will show up at Fiesta.
She lives in Texas, doesn't she?
I'm not sure.
I thought her Twitter or FA profile said she lived in Texas. So, yeah. So I'm sure she's... I wonder if she's been to Fiesta, but just not been a dealer at it.
Or in the alley.
Yeah. I don't know.
There was actually a pony artist that I'm rather fond of their anthros that was like tweeting quite excitedly they had gone to Fiesta and had a good time.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, I didn't know you were there because I would have bought some of your art or gotten a commission, but you... Obviously, I didn't get much chance to actually
do
much.
I'm hoping next year is more sane.
But I was like, oh no, I really like your pony anthros. I would have gotten the commission from you. Oh, darn.
I didn't get a chance to buy much at Fiesta this year. I spent
$3.
I bought Noxie's giant print from the art show. The one with the kimono Akita.
Okay. Oh, that's a cute one, yeah.
So I got that from the art show. That's the only thing I bought this year. And I always get a couple commissions.
I bought a $3 patch from Sophie Capra. That was it. Because I didn't have any cash on me, and I normally have cash on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, you know what, I've got too much work to do, and I don't want to, like, stash my stuff anywhere.
I just didn't have
time. Even I could have, like, totally stashed with my parents or you. I just wasn't really thinking.
I just didn't have any time to go look around, and I was too frazzled when I was. So when I had a moment to relax, I just sat and relaxed.
Yeah.
Because...
You know who really would like to come to Fiesta?
Mm-hmm.
Mel White.
Which one's Mel White?
The... Furry Muck founder / wizard / author writer.
She's also an author in sci-fi fandom.
Well,
talk to her briefly today. We will have actual convention business level stuff discussions about in the future because Bob's an old friend of hers.
Well, you can always put her up as a GOH.
Yep. Because... We'll have to talk about that later, though.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I bought from Fiesta was... A $10 hand job from a dirty fursuiter who was trying to earn enough money for a room for the night.
Not a clean fursuiter, a dirty one.
Well, he was crusty. He'd been working for a while.
So, emails.
Do you want me to read a Tumblr?
Why don't we go through the actual emails we got, and then we'll do the Tumblr.
No! I ran out of it! Okay, fine. We'll do an email.
Okay. Need some help, guys. This is from Anonymous.
Oh, shit.
So I've got a bit of a question that probably isn't anything, but I'm starting to get concerned about it. I'm a newly divorced guy. Just got the divorce decree last month. Woo! And I'm starting to get back into the single life scene. I've never been much more flirty with other furs now that I know my old married life is never happening again. And this is shown by me calling people cute and other things. I recently met up with a person on Facebook I met at the local meet and said something like, "It's that cute fur I met the other day." She DM'd me later, asking if I thought she was cute, to which I responded in the affirmative. Ever since then, we've been Facebook chatting and texting more than I normally even text my closest friends. My question to you guys, does it seem like I'm trying to start a relationship with her? Don't get me wrong, she's cute, friendly, and a fun fur, but in my situation, I'm not really looking for a relationship at all. Fuck buddies are okay, but I don't want anything holding me down. And if this does look like I'm trying to start something with her, how should I tell her I'm not interested in her, and it has nothing to do with her at all? Sincerely, Anonymous. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with talking and being friends with somebody. And, you know, if you should probably be kind of explicit. It's like, hey, I hope you understand I've recently divorced, I'm not looking for a relationship, but if you want friends' benefits, hey, okay.
Or maybe even just mention that in sort of a casual way.
Yeah.
Not directly to her.
Talk about life in general and...
Yeah.
I mean, most people will get the fact that, oh, this dude's gotten his divorce decree like a month ago. He's probably not looking to settle back down.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would get that. You should probably...
Well, a 17-year-old furry wouldn't, but...
Yeah.
Well, hope that this isn't a newly divorced guy hitting on a 17-year-old furry.
Oh, I'm not implying that it was.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Even some younger furries, even like 23-year-old furries might not get that.
True.
So, well, as I brought to you, Hall, so we can move in.
I would talk about it kind of casually. And now, to be fair, I'm a slightly different situation than you, but not that long ago, I headed into divorce land. And while I was in a poly relationship and I was still with someone, it did mean that suddenly I could open up my relationship again, something that I enjoyed and I was not allowed while I was with my now ex-husband. So I remember that feeling of freedom of, oh, hey, I can flirt again. Oh, hey, wow. It's really a mind-opening and amazing feeling when you've been restricted for a long time. But I also started off my gay, I opened with, oh, I'm not going to get into a relationship again. Maybe friends with benefits. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to do that poly thing again.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a couple months later, and I'd found Sero, and I'm now very happy with it. But I wasn't looking when I found it, but I couldn't be happier now that I have. So I'm just saying, don't worry about it too much. If it's going to develop that way, you never know when you're suddenly going to get smacked with happiness again. So just go with the flow.
Happiness is the name of my paddle. I smack people with happiness all the time.
So you're going to open that booth for next year's Fiesta?
Oh, I should.
The happiness booth?
What? No, spanking booth. I want to open a spanking booth. And Tyrion's like, no, we don't actually sell sex. I was like, it's not sex, it's just spanking.
And, you know, there'd have to be disclaimers and waivers, and that would probably affect our insurance. So read an email. Somebody.
Oh, wait, are you telling me you're going to have your customers being beaten in one of your rooms? Yes, but not in a bad way.
Consensually.
We're going to increase your deductible.
They'll enjoy it. It's not non-con.
Wait, I thought you said this was happening at your con. No, that's not what I meant.
Let's see. Let's see. I'm trying to find...
The follow-up says doesn't need to be read on air, but you can read it if you want.
Let's see. Or you can pick a different one. Well, I'm reading, like, my version out, so it's not synced up with yours. How about this one from Jeeves?
Okay.
All right. Dear Notcasters, this week I'd like to ask you for some advice. Not relationship advice, but advice on my lack of relationship and why I'm perfectly overjoyed with it. I'm single. That's not to say I don't have close companions with whom I share intimate thoughts, feelings, and actions, but for the purposes of ticking a box in people's perceptions, I'm single. I have no problem people telling people this or telling them that I'm very happy with my life as it is, and I am. One thing that does make me curious, though, is how uncommon/common the way I'm feeling is. I'm 25 years old. To me, that doesn't seem like finding someone with whom to spend my life with is a big deal at this age. Thus, when I see my friends younger than me obsessing over relationships and finding someone, I not only get confused as to why I don't feel that way, but why they do. I don't want to be arrogant and claim that I'm just secure in myself as an individual because God knows I've had my share of crisis of confidence over the years. But hopefully you folks can offer a little advice with regard of how you felt in your early to mid-20s. Whether at the point in the relationships that you did have were driven by a strong motivation to find someone, or if like me you were just happy to trundle along and see what turned up in a more casual manner. And long-term relationships just happen to develop from people you met. Any advice would be appreciated. Thanks. The ever enthusiastic Jeeves Theroux, Scotland.
So, I think it's not common enough.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be more common. Totally. Yeah, when I was in my early 20s, before I met Tyrion in my mid-20s, I was perfectly content just kind of tooling along. you know, having some friends with benefits, you know, having some fun at cons, having friends just to hang out with and everything like that. And people really need to learn to love themselves before they can love anybody else.
It's a well-balanced emotional state.
Yeah, you need to be a complete person. You know, you need to have all your brain together before you shouldn't be looking for somebody else to complete you. You should already be a complete person. And yeah, it's a younger mentality to be really obsessing over having to have somebody. I think it comes from high school and junior high school where it's like
hormones are raging.
It's not just hormones are raging. It's also like this huge social status thing. Oh, yeah. And you're an outcast and a freak and a loner or something if you're not seeing somebody or trying to see somebody. And not all of us are wired that way, you know? I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think that's actually the more positive way to look.
See, I agree with you. There needs to be more people that are less obsessed about having a relationship and using it as like a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, when I was in my early 20s, I had way too much other shit going on to even consider a relationship. I had crisis of faith and stuff with my sexuality and all this other stuff going on in my life. And a relationship at that time would just have been one more bullshit thing to deal with, you know? And obviously, you know, things with Panther started. It started over a decade ago, so I was in my early 20s when it started, but, you know, that was on the tail end of that when I figured my shit out.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I was 25 when I met Taryn.
I was 20.
Yeah, I was
20. And it wasn't a, oh my god, I need a relationship, oh my god, anything. It was just, we met at the TCC, GLBTQA, blah blah, whatever.
BBQ, LOL.
Trans star, yeah, whatever. And we just kind of hit it off. And
yeah.
It evolved into a decade-long relationship. It wasn't something we were both super, super looking for, and neither one of us is really either is terribly romantic. We're a couple of nerd faggots. It's not really like, oh, romanticism is the core of our being. No, we're gay and we like a lot of the same things and video games and movies and TV shows. You know, it's a very low key existence, and all things considered. It just happened to work out that way, and we're cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even really pursue Tyrion initially. He just kind of came into my life, and things kind of worked out kind of naturally. It wasn't like a major thing. You know,
I think more often than not, the people that are like super hardcore, oh my god, I got to find myself a boyfriend free girl or something like that, is they're just barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. Arf, arf.
I've been with Siam since I was 19. So we're heading on, this year will be our 17th year together. I wasn't single in my 20s. I haven't been single for a very long time. But he and I just kind of, we were playing on, it's one of the muck genres. It's a moo. We were DMing our individual but related areas, and we got to talking, and it just kind of wandered from there. My ex-husband, common friends, we weren't really looking for anything when we just started chatting, and Sarah, again, started out as a flirty, but we weren't looking to be even anything physical.
He was a stray you took in.
And and then it went into friends with benefits, and then, oh, wait, feelings. So it's not like I really went out looking any of my three major adult relationships. They just kind of happened.
And really, it seems like those seem to be the most long-lived and stable, because, I mean, you evolve from a friendship into a relationship and not just going zero to boning.
Where you're looking for that instant connection where, do you like me? I like you. You know, yes, yeah, no, on like a note. you know.
And actually, this is something I'm pretty proud to bring up. My parents' 35th anniversary was yesterday.
Oh wow.
Cool.
They have been together more than half of their lives.
That's pretty amazing.
And they started out as coworkers. And then it just kind of went from there, and they've been together since, 35 years ago would be 79?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was 2.
Damn.
Yeah, I was 3.
I didn't exist yet.
Well, that's good. Your parents aren't married yet.
Yeah, well. That's usually 5 years after they got married.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4 years after my parents got married. So
no, 4 years, because it was 83 and they got married in 79.
Minus 9 months, that's when the fucking happened.
Oh, God. So, and this is funny. My sister has a neighbor, and this lady has, I think, a 10-year-old or 12-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and she got pregnant for the third time, and this entire time she was pregnant, there were 2 days out of the year that she did not want to have this baby, and her due date kind of overlapped them, so she was basically praying. Lo and behold, she went into labor. And had the kid on the same day as her youngest or one of the other two kids' birthday. The other kid's birthday is within the same week. So I told my sister, it's like, you know, she really needs to not be home that entire week. She's already discovered the do not fuck your husband week. Yeah. Because you've already have 3 children. And her husband's birthday is, like, I think, like 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, man... 2 siblings sharing the same birthday, one within the week, and your husband's the week before. It's like, damn.
I think my aunt, uncle, and cousin are all in June. Like, the whole family has their birthdays in the 1 month.
That would just suck to have your birthday the same day as your sibling.
Yeah, yeah. For little kids in particular, they really get that rivalry going and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we should go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, we've got a song for this week.
We have a Voider, we have a treat for you. So, our old friends, the guys in Sublevel 3, have recently released a comic book called The Rise of Orchestro, which is drawn by the crew at Ringtail Cafe and stars the Sublevel 3 guy as furries battling a villain called Orchestro. And the comic is sold with a CD. And it's an EP. It has 4 songs on it. There are 4 covers that didn't make it into their Undercover album. So I can never remember the proper name of the Numa Numa song. Yes, what Savrin just said. So we're going to play that for you on the break.
Okay.
The CD also includes... White Wedding. My brain is going numb. Well, let me go ahead and pull it up on the web here, because you can buy this at their website. It is, I believe it is only $10. It includes the comic book and the CD for $10.
Not bad.
So it is sublevel3.us is their website. No dashes or underscores or anything crazy like that. And let me go ahead and see if I can figure out what the songs are on here right quick. It probably does list it on the website, but I'm not finding it right away, and I don't want to take up too much time here. But go to Savard will put the link in the show notes.
Yep.
But again, it is sublevel3.us. It's it's $8.95 actually, not $10. So $8.95. See, I just saved you a dollar. And like I said, 4 songs, you've never heard them play before, and the comic book, which is like a full-length comic. It's pretty badass. So they're good friends of ours. They're big supporters of OkuCon and Furry Fiesta. So definitely support the band and check them out. And we'll be back.
Yep.
Fire, fire. Yoshida. Alô, alô. Sutiem Picasso, Tiana Bip. Tu sim vojnik, dar se sti nu cer nimic. Vrei să pleci, dar numai, numai ei. Numai, numai ei. Numai, numai, numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tei. Mi-amintește ochii tăi ei. Vrei să pleci, dar numai, numai ei. Numai, numai ei. Numai, numai, numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tei. Mi-amintește ochii tăi ei. Te sun, se spun, ce simt acum. Alo, iubirea mea, primește fericirea. Alo, alo, sunt Ierășu, Picasso, ți-am neapit. Ce simt voinic, dar să știi, nu cer nimic. Vrei să pleci, dar numai, numai ei. Numai, numai ei. Numai, numai, numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tei. Mi-amintesc de ochii tăi ei. Vrei să pleci, dar numai, numai ei. Numai, numai ei. Numai, numai, numai ei. Chipul tău și dragostea din tei.
This week on Adam and Eve, they've got a St. Paddy's Day mega sale, and one of the items that they have is the Trinidad fishnet garter dress, and it, at least the picture of it, is very, very nice. It's kind of this lacy mini dress that goes down into a pair of garters, and I can at least say that I really like how it looks on this model. I could be wrong. It might look like crap in real life, but at least on the model, it looks really, really nice. It's got 19 reviews, almost just a shave little bit off of 5 stars, so apparently people really, really liked it.
Mm. Dad-ass.
If nothing else, it's worth going to Adam and Eve to see the pretty, pretty picture, because it's pretty damn tasty. Let's see, but we have this thing called a coupon code, and it is good for 50% off an item and free shipping. So with this thing, our coupon code is KNOT. It helps if I can spell KNOT and not KNOR, which I think is a radio station. And so with that, it shaves off $8 in shipping.
That's not for those playing at home.
Yes. And it's half price, so instead of $34.95, it's $16.48, which, that's not bad for a pretty little bit of lingerie.
Some thick lingerie.
So that's it for this week's for Adam and Eve.
Over to you. Wait, who's next?
You.
Me?
Actually.
You both read an email, so it'd be my turn again.
Did I? We've only done 2 emails, I thought.
Yeah, you and me, so it's his turn.
Oh,
fuck that guy. Okay.
Go.
I thought you were going to read.
No, you haven't read one yet. It's your turn.
But I thought she just said that you
I said him. I didn't specify which him.
There's 2 hims here.
Okay. So that just implies not me. I don't have a boy bit.
Are you implying that I would have to be a male to have a boy bit? And being all gender...
Dude, don't even.
don't even go there.
Just read a fucking email, dude.
Should tell him about the Tumblr post that was retweeted today.
No. Talking about
the animals. Also,
gendering your cat is abuse.
Yes. That, how do you know your cat is cisgendered? They might not be. Okay. Let's see. There's one thing I was looking for. Where'd the one I wanted to read go? Okay. Because I don't know where we'll go with this. Anonymous question from Tumblr. Describe your perfect cock.
Erect.
That's a good start.
Smaller than a Coke can and long and shorter than a Pringles can.
Wait, what?
Smaller than a Coke can and shorter than a Pringles can.
Okay.
So he's
is
saying
there a minimum length?
Well, yes, there's obviously a minimum length. It has to be longer than a Coke can.
Oh, okay. Oh, a Coke can. I was thinking a Coke bottle for some reason. So it's like, wait, your size range is between a Pringles can and a Coke bottle? God damn it, foxes.
that's so specific.
I don't know. I've had a couple of different ones, and they all have their merits.
But what was your favorite cock, Shiva?
That was many, many years ago, but it was a very good cock.
What made it good? Was it size, thickness, shape?
It was just big all around. It was long and it was big.
Okay,
that's hot. I like a nicely shaped mushroom head, and I think it's just a visual thing because of it's common in Western society. I do prefer cut to uncut. I just think they look more attractive.
Oh,
and that's just a visual preference to me. I'm not implying that one's better than the other inherently.
You have preferences? Shitlord.
Yes, I do. I'm afraid I do. I am a shitlord. And, you know, I'm usually topping. So, I do like sucking dick, though. And I'm good with any size, really. I don't really have a preference. So...
So you're kind of like, you know, cocks are generally pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I do prefer uncut. Or I do prefer cut myself, as long as it's not been, like, too severe.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways that circumcision can go.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's a really severe cut, it's not as much fun for the person with the really, really cut dick.
Yeah.
So I've had cut and I've had uncut, at least for... Because I really just only have the option of receiving, uncut's kind of nice to have. There's not usually as much chafing, per se, if they're uncut.
Mm-hmm.
So there's merits to both. So I won't, but visually, when they're not erect, I would go with, you know, cut. Because uncut, there's just that skin. It's like, I think it's just because what I'm used to. But it looks like a turtleneck sweater.
Yeah, I would blame a lot of all of our visual impressions on just being what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And as the numbers of the prevalence of circumcision drops off over the years, probably future generations will not care, or they'll end up with a preference for cut or for uncut, rather.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think that's really just kind of the way we grew up.
I think so, too. It's what you're expecting to see, so when you see something that's not...
Oh my god, it's the tentacle! Oh, no.
And it flares out like a horse dick.
Spice must flow.
Yeah. We're strangely unspecific, or maybe just not real picky.
Well, I mean, we're talking real life here. I mean...
Oh, yeah, I know, but I mean...
It's like in our furry porns? Yeah, sure, it doesn't really matter.
You know, average length, you know, average thickness... nicely shaped head.
It's like not actually a size queen in real life.
See?
Yeah.
If I'm giving head or I'm, you know, sucking cock, small size is fine. It's mostly that when I'm receiving that where a little bit of size is nicer than not one.
And when giving oral, it's like being able to get their whole cock in your mouth, even if you don't deep throat, is kind of nice. So for the small to small side of average guys, you could do that. But then, you know, yeah, a big slab of meat is fun to play with sometimes, you know. But I'm not an experienced bottom, so I really couldn't take somebody railing me with a massive cock. So.
Well, and that's the same as, like, I don't receive through the other door all that often, so I'm kind of glad that I couldn't do that with any with a giant cock.
And I don't get that much pleasure out of anal sex, so it's not like a vagina that's more wired with a shitload of nerves and stuff like that. And, you know, a big dick could probably do something for you, but it wouldn't really do as much for me.
But there are
those little size queens that love a massive cock and, you know.
And can handle it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, they take a fart and there's a whistle.
well. So, yeah. Let's see.
So, somebody else's turn after I read that extremely long Tumblr question.
Yes. Boozy Anon. Hi, Notcasters. I was recently listening to episode 164, and you guys were discussing self-control and drinking. I think I have an alcohol problem. No, I'm not a heavily pickled alcoholic. It's more to do with self-control. The thing is, I like to drink sociably and just chill. Here lies my problem. I'm a social drinker. When I am sober, after a few drinks, that bottle starts disappearing pretty fast. I don't want to be that guy at a party. I end up making one of the biggest mistakes of my life because of this. By some amazing chance, it turns into one of the best things that ever happened to me. I like drinking socially. I usually end up overly anxious, easily distracted, and constantly saying off-the-wall crap because my brain works that way. Hey, Jim, did you see those records done for accounting? Accounting, money, Canadian dollar, maple syrup, French toast, French Eiffel Tower. Hey, guys, did you know there was a hot dog stand at the top of the Eiffel Tower? And that is how my thought process works, or it doesn't. Then I suppose the biggest problem here is if I get a little tipsy down the bottle feeling perfectly fine, then the alcohol hits me. Some advice? A only slightly pickled anon.
So, you don't start out that way, but once you start drinking, it kind of goes downhill. So.
I don't know, I'm getting a feeling that his brain just works that way anyway.
It just kind of goes on a tangent. I more meant like the bottle starts vanishing. That was more what I was looking at.
It's like, once he gets started, it's hard to stop, and he's going to be that guy that danger drowns your bottle of Kahlua.
Bitch, better not touch my Kahlua, or worse, my Baileys.
Or both, by making themselves...
It better not my fucking honey liqueur, because that Baron Jaeger, because that shit's awesome.
Haven't touched that.
Oh, God, it's so good.
It's good. Was it Cyan that introduced you guys to it? Because that stuff's insane.
No, it was a non-furry... It was a brony friend of ours. He wasn't a brony at the time. Brought a bottle over. This was funny. Brought a bottle over one of our New Year's Eve parties at the house. And he got this special edition bottle where there was this woven yarn-like hive around the bottle because it's honey. And the plastic cap over the top of it looked like a little hive.
Oh, that's not special. That's how it looks most of the time.
Well, I bought one that wasn't. It was just a bottle. It had the hive at the top, but it didn't have the woven thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the woven thing is not really designed to be held a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So at one point in the party, it completely fell apart and the bottle hit the ground. You know, and that's how we got the first spill on our living room carpet. And it was like, oh, shit. So we took the little casing off and put it aside. Later that night, I went to get a drink out of it, and I picked it up by the plastic cap.
And the plastic cap pops off.
And the cap popped off, and the bottle luckily hit the bar, and not that far, but it was like, it dropped like an inch. It was just like, wham, and it kind of took me by surprise. I was like, shit, that's the second time this bottle has been dropped. Tonight.
Trying to remember.
It made it a memorable liquor, anyway.
Oh, he always keeps that stuff on hand. It's some of the best stuff.
It really is good. It's for tavern's benefits, as you're having it. You can really taste the honey It's very sweet, very honey, and then it has a little bit of that sharpness that his alcohol has, and then it goes away.
I think I've got some in the freezer. I'll bring some over next week. As in, not to get shit-faced, but just to try.
Oh, man, this podcast episode going to be fucked up!
Hey, I can walk home. You're the one that's in trouble. Hook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, good point. And it's not even like it's the weekend anymore. I can't just crash on Saverin's couch. I have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why it would be try it, because it is amazing.
You could, but yeah, it's...
And Saverin has, like, no stomach, so it's like, let's get Saverin fucked up.
No, this would be, like, enough to, like, take a taste, and, yeah. Because it is so unique.
Here's a teaspoonful of Saverin.
So
I had a good-sized glass of red wine the other night, and I was feeling pretty toasty.
Then I put my dick in your mouth.
Yeah, that doesn't take wine. I mean, that's just a fox.
It could just happen, you know.
Just spontaneously.
Spontaneous dicking.
As you can see, I'm being sucked off by a FedEx.
Perfectly normal. Move along.
So Saverin read that one. Is it your turn, or is it mine again? She was. Okay.
All right, let's do another tumbler. Let's see. Expand out that group. There's like a whole bunch of little tumblers.
Mm.
So we did the Perfect Hawk one.
Mm-hmm. I archived it.
Archived it?
Yes.
From Rahata, where's the worst place you've done the deed? You know, buried the sausage, fed the kitty, filled the cream donut, made tender love, or just fucked?
So I have to put this out before I forget it. The other two songs on Sublevel 3's EP are Funky Town and Katy Perry's Alien.
Ah, now I gotta hear that.
So, it's a very random mix, but it's very enjoyable. So, yeah, where's the worst place you've done the deed?
I feel like I'm boring. I really haven't done it anywhere outside of, like, the bedroom that I can remember.
Yeah.
Like a hotel room.
The bedroom, hotel room. I've done it in a tent. But, I mean, that's just... You know, it's camping, you fuck in a tent. That's probably the only place that wasn't just, like, a bed.
I don't know. I mean, unless you count, like, a parent's house or a friend's house, you know, when you're spending the night. Mm. Downstairs at visiting my parents? I don't know. It's still indoors.
Yeah, I don't have any really cool stories, like...
Never...
Bent somebody over the trunk of a car and humped them or something. I mean, yeah.
All of mine have been in houses, but, like,
mm-hmm.
Remember those tiger stripe chairs we used to have? Remember that green couch?
Mm-hmm.
Bent over the couch. And...
Yeah.
We don't own those anymore.
Do you remember my beanbag?
No.
Ever? Oh, yeah. Tira and I totally fucked on the beanbag. Yeah.
We fucked on our beanbags, too. We were horny and young.
Yeah.
And they're kind of good for getting unusual angles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was, like, the point of... It's like, 1 week our former roommate was gone, and we decided that we were going to fuck on every square inch of the apartment. And we did.
It's like, the parents are out of the house!
And it's time to fucking... never, ever told her.
Oh, did you fuck in her bed?
No, we didn't do that.
You weren't that, you know.
Yeah.
You should have
noticed.
Saverin, what's this long white streak on my comforter?
Well, to be fair, before I...
And where is all this blood here? No, sorry.
To be fair, before I gave them my old bed, their bed was not that comfy. It was kind of a rock.
Hmm? Your old bed, Saverin? Is that...
No, I... She got my hand-me-down bed.
Oh.
Former roommate. I was like,
no.
I got a bed from you.
No, former roommate did. Before that, she had a futon, and it was a rock.
Yeah, it was cheap. So, yeah, there you go.
God, we're dull. I'm really trying to think now. Like, see, I've had a lot of convention sex, so it's like cons, hotel, bed... You know?
Yeah.
Where did I... How'd I... a really hot random makeout session that somewhere. It's just in a hallway or something like that, but it wasn't like full on sex. But that's, yeah, you know, even that is just like, so I made out with somebody in a dark hallway or something, you know.
Yep.
No, sorry. We're dull. No interesting or fun stories there. I don't even think I've ever been walked in on or caught by my parent or anything like that. Or
I've been, not by a parent, I've been walked in by roommates at cons.
I never had that problem.
So.
I think I told that story about the about me ending up with somebody at a con and the roommate who was the hanger-on who was sleeping on the floor was apparently could hear things in the night. Did I tell you guys that story?
That story?
I could hear sucking sounds. We were like, don't care. You didn't pay for the room. You can deal with it.
It's like... We're being nice by letting you sleep on this patch of carpet. Suck it up.
But not us.
I know I am. Ah.
So, here's a question from Tumblr. A question of not history. When did knots and furry art start to appear and get acceptance? I recall when I first started paying close attention to male genitalia and furry art about 10 years ago, knots were known, but were still something of a novelty. I know you have some highly experienced furries on the cast, so maybe some of you remember.
I don't
know. Fuck if I know, dude.
They just kind of became slowly more and more prevalent.
Well, I was really hoping that you remembered, Saffron, because I don't.
I certainly don't. I mean...
You're a fox. Aren't you paying attention to this? Or doesn't it matter? It's all going in your ass anyway.
God. I don't know. It's just been one of those things. I mean, obviously, you know, you have, you know... Most characters have human dicks, but then there's the people that have the special snowflake dicks, and then there's the people with the...
Hey, I have a special snowflake because I have a knot?
Yes.
And a human penis? Yeah, sure. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Whatever, man.
Most people, most furries have humanish dicks. Yeah.
No,
and then there's some that don't.
The odd dicks back in the day that used to make me tilt my head is when you had the furries with the uncut dicks. So, and they just have this kind of fuzzy sheath hanging down.
Yeah, it's like a detached sheath.
The Jane Naylor sandworms.
Which would make sense that it would allow the males to urinate standing up.
Yeah, it's just, I saw this like, okay.
And you just kind of pulled the sheath back. Oh, that suddenly reminded me, do you guys remember the computer case that was built with a sheath of furry cock and balls?
Oh, God, yes.
No?
You don't remember this?
Jesus Christ, that sounds terrifying.
And the reset button was underneath the ball sack, so he had to reach under his balls to reset him. I've got to... Fuck it. I'm going to...
Jesus Christ.
...find a picture of this.
Oh, I remember that. Oh my god, I'd forgotten about
it. You have to find that before the end of the show because I gotta see that. So yeah, the question is, I don't fucking know. That's the answer. It's just been one of those things. It's probably been out there for fucking ever, and it's just
it'll be around.
And probably also one of those things that its popularity waxes and wanes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think there's any one group of people that are like trending with, you know, it's like, oh well. Human cocks are up! Invest, invest! Animal cocks are down! Sell, sell, sell!
The furry stock market, oh my god.
The cock market.
The cock. Damn.
You're welcome.
That was easy, and I walked right into it.
So, Shiva.
Is it my debt turn again?
Actually, y'all completely skipped me, but I don't mind.
Fuzz, read. Yeah, you have a mission.
I have a mission. I totally have a mission.
Right, questions aren't exactly, you know, in-depth.
Let's see. Find another. Let's see. What? So apparently pavor is a thing now. Someone's furry foot opening up and swallowing an entire other person. Now, I'm a pretty kinky guy, and I've enjoyed a lot of kinky artwork and the fandoms produced. But I'm not trying to judge if people enjoy this or create it, but the fact remains, this is very definitive. What is this? I don't even. I tend to agree. There's also the tails war, where they have, like, big monster mouths on the tip of their tails.
I mean, there's a lot fucking worse shit out there. There's, like... It's stuff that gets posted onto 4chan is in the what the fuck art fan art posts that end up on some of the boards where it's like, it's Tony Stark turning into a diaper, or it's, you know, the Sonic the Hedgehog characters, but they've been turned into urinals.
There's some pretty...
Some fucked up shit out there in the world.
I hate the Sonic fandom so much, I want to piss in his mouth.
My little urinals.
Oh, God.
Well, I googled furry cock computer case, and there is a picture of Ronald Reagan, so go figure.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, you know, it's one of those things that if there's a kink if there's a kink you can think of, somebody's thought of it already and has made porn of it.
Or has paid somebody to make porn of it. To be fair.
I could see, like, the Pavor being like, oh, you're into absorption as well, and you have a foot fetish. So it's like, by their powers combined, you step on somebody and absorb them into your body. And it really would pair well with, like, macro fur.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have crush for foot fetish and macro in one thing. You're welcome, internet perverts. I expect art on my desk by the end of the week.
God, Savard, stop. You're almost making that make sense. And when I first got that email, that was a total nope moment for me. That was just like, you know what? Nope. I'm done. Done. Quitting the fandom. BRB. That's just...
And you almost made it make sense.
Yeah.
It's just a combination of people's fetishes. It's weird, but to them it's probably pretty hot.
Somebody out there is fapping to it right now.
Right now.
This moment. They just got off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seriously, if you're an artist and do all that, you will get 500 internet points.
Well, to this day, the thing that it still tweaks, because I did it for a commission. Someone paid me $100 to draw it. It was a macro unbirth comedy thing. And it's got my most faves on FA. I'm like...
What?
I did a macro unbirth. Because I got paid $100 to draw it. And I thought it came out pretty okay. At least from the drawing style. And it's got my most faves on FA. And it's always like, really, guys?
Well, we were saying about a couple of other fetishes, that when you have a really specific fetish, the people that are into that will seek that shit out. So, yeah. Everyone that loves that stuff has found that one picture.
Whereas it's probably like one of a dozen pictures.
Mm-hmm. Everyone that likes like random pinup art, it's like it kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Dime a dozen.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas macro unbirth,
yeah,
hey,
it's like it's not
shit.
No macro tar unbirth, no less. It's like, really? Okay, for $100, I'll draw that. It didn't squick me. It was just kind of like head tilt. What is this? I don't. Okay.
I swear I found this easily, like, a couple years ago. Why is it so difficult to find now?
So, I'm going to read another email while Fuzz continues to search for this ridiculous ridiculous computer case. Wanting more? This is our last non-Tumblr question.
Okay, so I did find something ridiculous, though. It's a bicycle covered in fur.
What?
It's a furry bike. Dear Notcast, since last September, I've been with a girl I've met in college, and so far, this has been the sanest, most stable, and best relationship I've had. We're understanding and supportive of each other, and in the sex department, we're doing damn well, too. I even managed to turn her into a furry. Dun-dun-dun. But lately, I've been feeling like, despite all this, I'm craving more, and I'm worried if these cravings will hurt our relationship in the long run. Uh-oh. I am bisexual, and she knows this, not minding it at all. The problem is that being bisexual, I go through periods where I may be desiring males or females more than the other, and lately I've been feeling very curious about some things like experimenting with a guy, doing a threesome, or attending a private room party at a furry con. However, our relationship is strictly closed, and I have discussed how she would feel about a threesome with another dude, which would prefer to be gay or male-preferring, and she said no. Even though she's into guy and guy, she's definitely the kind of partner that wants her lover all to herself, and I can most definitely understand that. I get jealous easily, too. Although I personally feel like I don't get as emotionally invested with males as I do with females. On the plus side, he's open to trying other things I've wanted to do, like cross-dressing and anal. But I feel like there are things I want to do but may not be possible without affecting our relationship. These desires even make me feel guilty because I worry this might be a slippery slope that I'm sliding down, Is it normal to feel this way? Is part of a relationship accepting that even though one can't fulfill all their partner's desires, they can still make it work? I would never leave her or trade what I had with her for anything in the world, but I want to be sure that this can all work out somehow. Sincerely, Leon Taz.
Yeah,
get her into pegging. No.
Even that, it's not quite the same thing. I mean, you can't really come, you know, it's still a toy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's got to be something you and her work out in the long run, but I've been in a relationship where I'm poly, and I'm into open relationship, and it's my thing. And I was with a partner for many years where it wasn't allowed, and I did feel very stifled, very resentful, and where I never really found a girl I really had a crush on, because I really tried hard not to look. I fear that if I ever found one, he would say no. Obviously, this is my now ex-husband, not Siam, but yeah, it's... I am a lot more comfortable now knowing that should I find someone that I wanted to goof around with, or, you know, have a play party with, and so long as they are sane and not a detrimental to my relationship, it would probably be okay. I mean, if it got nixed, there would be a darn good reason. It wouldn't just be jealousy. You know, it would be they didn't like this person, not all people blanketed. No. Out of fear. So it's, I don't, I wouldn't be happy in that situation, but that's, it's up to you guys. So,
what do you think, Fuzz?
I don't. I was Googling here. I thought I was just going to let you guys handle it.
Yeah, then. I mean...
He's still trying to find the cock case.
I think this is definitely something you'll have to talk out with her going forward. I mean, if you really, really like this chick and you want it to be a long-term relationship, she may soften a bit on that mm-hmm. further down the road when she feels more secure in the relationship.
Because they said, what, September? It's not that long into it.
Yeah, I mean... I'm not saying she will, but it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't need to feel guilty about your desires, but you should you should only really feel guilty if you act on them and it harms your relationship.
Yes.
Which I think if you did, would. So you're going to probably have to keep that in the realm of fantasy for the time being. Maybe she'll soften later. Maybe she'll get into some of the kinkier stuff you like and then open her mind to other things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a bad person for having desires like this, but if you do breach her trust, that kind of does. That kind of would make you one.
Yeah, so don't be that guy. At least play by the rules if you guys can agree on them. Or even if you guys don't agree on them, you don't break the rules irregardless.
Yeah, because that's one way to fuck it up.
It's just an image. You seem
quite taken with her, so...
There's an image that just says furries equal perverts. Considering what I'm Googling right now, I really can't disagree.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's what we have to say about that.
We're good. Or ill. It's just our opinion.
We just have a few more left. Let's get this done.
Get her done.
Yep.
Are you still Googling, or shall I read another one, Buzz?
Go ahead and read another one.
Okay. Tumblr. Let's see. I like people who are vocal during sex, particularly at the moment of climax. It's not something I seek out in a lover prior to sharing my bed with them, but if I can make them moan or even scream, it's immensely arousing and satisfying to me. How do you all feel about being vocal in the bedroom? Are you noisy yourselves, and do you like your lovers to be more wild and reckless? Reserved and focused even at the height of passion. I like a little bit of noise, and I'm, depending on if I'm trying to be quiet, if I don't have to be quiet, I'm not a screamer, but I do make noise.
It's like, if I'm fucking someone, it's probably in a place that I have a legal right to be, either a hotel room or my own house, so I'm gonna be as loud as I fucking want to.
Yeah, testify!
I like vocalization, I like, you know, communication, like, you know,
harder, faster, stronger.
Harder, better, faster, stronger. Work it, make it. something. yeah, communication's pretty important, especially during sex, so I think that I prefer vocalization. Like, screaming and moaning...
screaming can get a little bit... Crying is not good.
Crying is bad. Oh, God! Oh, oh, God!
Actually, I've heard of some people crying out of pleasure, and occasionally people can cry after a spanking. I haven't had that, but I have heard...
Well, yeah, that
sounds like sub-drop. Well,
it's like a subspace kind of thing, but... And you have to comfort them.
Yeah, and you kind of have to let them ease out of that mindset. Sub-drop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like they're a bass and you drop them.
Well,
whoop.
We had a playmate for a little while where after she got off, she would break into tears every time. It was really disconcerting.
Mm.
It was like, oh, God, I feel like...
Is she having, like, intense shame?
As long as she didn't drop to her knees and beg God for forgiveness, because I've heard about a guy doing that.
After gay sex,
yes.
Oh, it was so good. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm sick. Then, you know, all right, he's good till next time. You fuck him.
Yeah.
Don't put your dick in crazy like that. So what do you think, Fez?
I haven't been listening to what you were reading. I've been goggling.
That's okay. So, next one. Without naming names... Have you guys ever been to cons that were disappointing to you as a visitor, either by the actions of staff or by other con-goers? And are you able to use those experiences to try and improve the aspects of business you yourself run at cons?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's
been good cons, there's been bad cons, and I think at this point, at least for me, I can't walk into a con without taking mental notes of, yes, do that, no, don't ever do that.
Oh, I'm the same way.
Yeah. Even if it's not furry things, if I walk into any kind of, I take notes and it's like, yeah, I'm going to suggest
that. Are they doing that I like? What are they doing that I don't like? Well, like one of the things that I've done, is like after a major event, is always pose the question of the people who went within my circles. What can we learn from this event? What was good? What was bad? What should never happen again?
And what
was a good idea?
Learn from their mistakes.
Yes.
I think one we can actually name is Las Pegasus Unicorn, because we have no connection to it, and it'll never happen again anyway.
Yeah, fuck those guys. But then again, that was like a fucking weird anomaly that could only have happened in a fandom that people didn't know that much about.
Perfect storm of fuckery.
But it is like something that should be studied by people wanting to run a convention as a perfect example of what not to do.
Yeah, don't go from, or in another case that we're not going to name names, go from 2 guests to 17.
Mm.
And then suddenly realize, holy shit, the ticket sales don't rise exponentially on each guest you have.
No.
You don't, in fact, get 250 guests per... 250 attendees per guest. But that'll be a story for next week. But yeah, definitely. Walking into a con, seeing how they run their security, seeing how they run their dealer's den, seeing how they run their artist alley.
Their ops.
I mean, it's... When you're in the business of conventions, you can't... It's impossible to just be an attendee anymore. Because you're always looking...
What can I learn?
What can I learn? And, like, people that have been doing this for years and years will still go to other conventions and they may see something new. Or they may see something they like and they adapt it. Or they'll be like, yo, you're kind of doing this wrong, you know.
Well, even, like, from Fiesta, other cons have adopted the Scritchin' Bitch yet, you know.
Oh, yeah. Post my con, a lot of the shit that we thought was kind of basic and stuff that we should do for the guests and stuff has been adopted as baseline contractual shit by a couple of the agents, because they were so happy with how things happened with us that they're like, yo, well, yeah, you should be able to take our people to dinner. You should have a guest and staff dinner. Yeah. You know, it's like, you should, you know, have people that are willing to run to the local Whole Foods and get them something with their per diem if they want it.
You know,
it's just like basic shit that we felt was like
this, a no-brainer.
A no-brainer quality of life thing that other cons just hadn't done, and now it's like a baseline thing.
Hmm.
There's always opportunities for conventions to
learn
from one another if they're willing. You know, the convention that refuses to adapt itself is the one that's going to die.
The ones that have too much pride in looking outside of their own borders.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've attended anime cons, I've attended pony cons, I've attended furry cons, and all of them have stuff that you can learn from. And sci-fi cons, and
mm-hmm.
all cons, just an all con. They cover all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what time we... I forgot.
This year is like all cosplay shit in their dealer's den, too.
Yeah, but they got the burlesque that I like to go to, and titties. Yeah. But I can just go to the burlesque downtown.
Yep. So, two more.
Well, fuck it. I can't find it.
I remember seeing it.
Completely stymied on how something as insane as this just drops off the internet. It's bizarre. I mean, for any old school furries that are out there, find this picture and we'll put it on our Tumblr or something like that.
Someone has to have it in their humor folder.
Yeah.
The lol furries.
I mean, it might even be on my home computer somewhere in some old, you know, file of funny pictures or something like that. But you know what? I really like moaning. Like girls are generally a lot more vocal than guys. But I love a cute guy that moans like a bitch when I'm fucking him. That is so hot.
Well, thank you for your input.
I didn't know if that was the last one you read or not. I just happened to notice it there.
So we have two more. Why don't you read them first?
Okay. I'm just refreshing to make sure I have the right to. Both these last ones are a Tumblr. If the casters could have dinner, drinks, and a long, uninterrupted conversation with one living person whom they have never met before... Exceptions can be made for brief meetings, so Fuzz can chat with a doctor if he wants. Who would it be and why?
Haven't met before?
Well, not for an extended period of time.
People that I think, personally, that would be very interesting.
Like Hitler? No.
Robert Downey Jr.
Because
he's gone through some weird shit in his life and turned it around.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Gerstmann.
Who is?
A games journalist who has been around forever and has seen some shit. I really respect him and work he does with Giant Bomb and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
He's a journalist and a podcaster, and I think he's a pretty cool dude. And I would have liked to have met Ryan Davis, but he kind of died last year.
Yeah.
And actually was kind of the catalyst to me going through with my surgery, and now I've lost 120 pounds. And Mike Vogel, the director of product development at Hasbro. Because he covers all the shit. I'm sure he would have some very interesting market things to talk about. Because it's, you know, demographics and markets and whatnot. That's interesting to me. So, there's my three.
I've got, most of mine would be authors that I haven't gotten to sit in. Jim Butcher, Brandon Sanderson, and probably Patricia Briggs. They're all authors. I mean, I just want to sit and... hear them talk about world building and such with them.
On that note, I would say Neil Gaiman is an author I'd like to sit down and talk to. Paul McGann, I could just, if I wouldn't creep him out by gushing over how lovely he is. And I met him twice, you know, brief.
Take a lock of your hair.
I'm going to clone my own.
Can I lick you just a little?
You taste like thyme.
He'd say no, but he would say it so elegantly.
Mm-hmm.
You'd just get a boner anyway.
I'm trying to think of somebody outside of Doctor Who. Well, Neil Gaiman was a good one, of course. But I'm trying to have a profound thought, you know, and I'm completely incapable of doing so.
I want to change it from Patricia Briggs. I want Stephen Proust instead. Again, also a writer. So.
I would have, since it's limited to living people and not the dead, Anne McCaffrey would have been an author choice.
Because
I had read every single one of her books.
Yeah.
Well, we were playing, me and Siam were on a Pern game playing when we met. So she was a big formation in how I've gotten to where I am.
I first found the White Dragon for a quarter at a Goodwill, and that started me down a long road. I still have that dog-eared copy, too.
That's awesome. It's a good book. Because I don't have all the books I read as a kid. You know, I think
I kept most of the important ones to me.
I've got a few, but like, stuff like nearly every Hardy Boys book that I read when I was like 10 or something like that.
I had all the Encyclopedia Brown books.
Oh, God, I read some of those, too.
I don't think I ever read them.
Like, I still have, personally, my copy of The Spooky Old Tree that my parents read to me as a kid.
That's the one of the series that's like the black and white cover. It's very identifiable artwork.
No. That Spooky Stories is still an art. This is actually a Bernstein Bears book, a young reader book.
Oh, okay.
From like the early 80s that my parents read to me to the point that the cover had to be duct taped back on. Wow. I still have that because it was one of my favorite stories being read as a child. I also have my Return of the Jedi Star Wars storybook, which was back when they still produced those things. And it was made the year I was born. or maybe the year after, because it was just stills from the movie, and that was one of my favorite movies growing up, was Return of the Jedi. Well, all the Star Wars films.
Have you ever seen the pictures of the Berenstain Bears parody books, where it's like the Berenstain Bears get totally fucked up, and they've all got red eyes and massive blunts in their paws and everything?
No. The Berenstain Bear books were something that were like a big part of my very, very young childhood. It's just one of those things that
I remember having some of those. Growing up in Britain, I had all the Mr. Men books. Did you guys ever get Mr. Men over here?
Those. Yeah. Mr. Smile, Mr. Frown, Miss Happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Stinky.
I had them like a stack like that.
And those are thin little books.
They're thin little books. But as a home, I'm holding my fingers like 2.5-3 inches apart. Like, it was a stack. Yeah, my mom got me the whole set.
I don't have a lot of. I only have two bookcases, so I'm like a filthy casual in a lot of ways. But I could probably point to pretty much every book on that shelf and tell you a story about it.
Mm-hmm. And not the story that's in it.
Yeah. It's like, I read this at this point in my life, and this was kind of cool, and I like that.
That's one of the things I really treasure that I feel that I didn't realize for a long time, but like that I feel a connection to my mom, is that she got me into reading really early. And I think that's why my sister and I turned out as well as we did. We already had a lot of language and reading skills before we even got to the first day of school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was like totally having a leg up on life, you know, and just having a passion for reading all growing up and everything like that, you know? It helps. Yeah.
And it was also one of those things that I was like so far ahead of the curve in the reading when I was in the grade school, that like I was going through the assigned reading books super quick and reading stuff. I was reading like Anne McCaffrey stuff in like fifth and sixth grade. Mm-hmm. I was also reading shit tons of cheesy Dungeons and Dragons novels. I still have some of those too.
Dragonlance kind of things.
Yeah. I read the entirety of, The Sorceress Pulgara, Pulgara the Sorceress. See, I gotta look this up, because I read all of his books, and the guy who wrote The Black Cauldron, his entire series of books.
Ah.
Pulgara the Sorceress, David Leigh Eddings, The Belgariad Malorion, Belgarath the Sorcerer. And Pulgara, that was a freaking thick book, too. I was basically devouring all of the fantasy fiction in my entire library, and I didn't have a very good library at the time, but I read.
Yeah, my mom's collection, she's the one that got me into it, and, when she and my dad split up, there wasn't a lot that got salvaged from the house because Dad moved far away. And a bunch of her books I really wanted got thrown out. I couldn't make it up all the way from Texas to New Hampshire to rescue them. And I didn't have money to move them out anyways.
Oh, it was Lloyd Alexander. Okay. Wow, 1965.
But now it's like, I'm wondering, we don't know if she had like a storage unit somewhere where some more stuff is at. And I'm wondering if, you know, some of the books I hope she managed to salvage were in our apartment somewhere and my sister rescued. Because, man, I would hate. I know that there were some. I don't know what exactly was there. So now I'm wondering if those books are now gone for good and they're in some storage unit that's going to get trashed at some point.
Mm.
Because we didn't know it existed.
My sister got, I think, all of Mom's books, or all the ones she wanted. Like, she had nearly every Stephen King book in hardback. Hell, I helped her build the collection for a long time. But my sister was starting her own little library in her house. So this was before I had my house.
I think if we had a better organized, I would probably like to do that myself. Just pick up mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that I read as a kid.
Yeah.
Just hunt it down and pick it up. Because a lot of it's, I mean, it was mass market paperbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I read the shit out of them.
You know what's funny is, like, some of the books I've read on Kindle, it's like, I would really like to have a print copy of it just to have it in my, hey, I read this book. Like, sort of a badge of honor, I guess, kind of thing.
Also, some of Anne McCaffrey's earlier Pern novels had some really fucking straight up 70s, 80s trippy covers.
Let me see if I can
covers.
Find.
Oh.
See if I can find the that's and that's part of it. I've been on a hunt for a particular set of covers.
Like Dragon Song.
And I've found some of them. I've been hitting up every half price bookstore looking for a particular set of covers.
So what was special about this particular series? I mean, I guess they were re-released later with different covers or something?
Oh, yeah. No, the Pern... Well, I mean, she wrote them over a really, really long time.
Like that one.
Yeah, but that this one was like fucking off a Yes album cover.
Well, this particular... that cover set is...
Dragon Song actually isn't that old, even though it was like written in the 80s, I think.
So this cover set is the books that...
Oh, wow.
That they had on my mom's shelf
mm-hmm.
when growing up, and they fascinated me. I mean, I stared at them like, oh my God, what is this book? The cover is so neat.
Yeah.
And I begged her, it's like, Mom, can I read that? Can I read that? Can I read that? And she'd go, no, you have to grow up. You have to grow up. Huh.
Did she just not want a kid fucking them up? Or?
Well, a mix of that and not thinking that I would take good care of it, or I understand what was going on.
Wow. The White Dragon is written in 1978.
Yeah. Well, Dragon Song and Dragon Singer, Dragon Drums are all, like, early 70s. And finally, she got tired of me begging her, and she handed me Dragon Drums to read, which, ironically, is the only book of the three that has any sex in it. Made me go through it chapter by chapter with her to make sure that I understood what the fuck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And like five chapters in, she's like, whatever, you understand it, go.
How old were you then?
I was 9.
Mm.
And so this was the book that started it all. It was the first adult novel, you know, not Judy Blume. And I fall in... And these are very symbolic covers for me because they've been re-released with various other covers since then, and they're okay, but they don't have the iconic ones.
Here's the fucking one that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So do yourself a favor and go to Google Image Search and just search for Anne McCaffrey Dragonflight, and it's this fucking Technicolor crazy ass dragon.
Holy fuck!
That one. It was the Corgi Science Fiction Edition from Corgi Books. But yeah, if you want to get us going on books and shit, you've done a good job.
So,
but this cover of The White Dragon is the one I have. It was the
Michael Whalen?
Yeah.
Oh God, I love that cover.
It's a great cover.
Moretta was good too. I always love Moretta's.
So, you got us on a... That was a good question, Non. Very good of you.
Yeah. Got us on a total book fag kick there.
Well, it was one of the, it's what tangented into a whole bunch of reading for me, which read me into a lot of furry things,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, that's the cover of Moretta. I always liked that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's Michael Whalen. I mean, he's an awesome fantasy artist.
Yeah, even I know his name.
And, I mean, it tangented me down a long road that led to furry mm-hmm. through various mucks, then onto muds, and then furry muck, and
mm-hmm.
here I am. So there's it's like 6 degrees of Pern is how I got to where I am today.
White Dragon had fucking.
Yeah, it did, but I didn't get to read White Dragon until a couple, like a year or two later. So
yeah, it was one of those things that it was a weird particular scene because the guy has just come out of like a some stints in the in between, and he's sick, and he fucks this chick in the field, and then the next chapter he's like sick as a dog, and I'm like, oh, see, fucking get you ill, watch out.
That's right, because so, she had the Satan in her.
We had one more.
We had one final question. It was from Jeeves asking if we have played Room Party.
I've seen it played, haven't played it.
Oh, you guys, I haven't played a game of it either.
Oh, you guys should play it sometime.
Well, Siam's got a whole deck, so I'm sure we will at some point.
If you you should recognize the people in the pack of dealer's cards.
Yeah, I know, I got pointed out that it... So
yeah, Jeeves, if you've got the limited Kickstarter edition, you should totally recognize the pack of dealer's card.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's about it for this week.
Yeah, and it's actually going to be a pretty long episode, probably about 2 hours.
Okay.
So
we rambled.
That was
good.
Fun. I just enjoy talking about books and shit too. I mean, I like doing the random Tumblr shit because we get random questions that we can just tangent on for a while, and it's about stuff we're all interested in. It doesn't just have to be dicks.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. relationships, even though the questions were about some dicks today.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, and that's kind of, and it's stupid little, like, quick little, brrr, and here's a question. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So, on that note, I guess.
Yep. Good night.
And big balls.